Hello, everyone. I'm actually here. I'll tell the story in just a second, but this is Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade, and we are going to have a show today. It's a long story, but I'll tell it in just a second, and no, there is no music today either. We're having some difficulties, and so that's the way sometimes that goes. But just a second, and I will get started. Here we go. Just a second. And hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. Some people say better late than never. I'm all right with that. I'm sorry to be late. It was unavoidable, and I literally mean that. We were running an errand and had plenty of time, and when suddenly there was a mighty kaboom in the intersection in which we were stopped behind. And two cars had collided, both going at a great rate of speed. One of them had gone through the red light, and that was annoying. So, what are you going to do? You sit there, and I was not a witness, so I could not see if something had gone wrong or not. And I mean, so if I had been a witness, I wouldn't have been here today at all. So those of you listening on the radio, I heartily do apologize, and because you had to listen to not only that, but no theme song. And I know you're thinking, well, that's okay. But those of you on YouTube, thank you for being here in the chat room. Raven, hello, Raven. Raven of the rabbit hole. Hello. Haven't seen nor talked to you nor in ages and ages. And Anne is in there, too. Bonjour, Anne. It's so good to see you. Welcome. 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 And Pamela. Thank you, Pamela, by the way, last week for telling me that my voice had gone up. That was chipmunk time. Do I sound normal today? Could someone tell me that? If I sound normal or not? And Lisa's in the room. Hello, and thank you for liking the theme song. I actually created that myself. So there you are. It's so good to see you all. And welcome. Yes, if you're watching on YouTube and this is live, only started a few minutes late. And of course, I will honor the length of the show to the top of the hour because of the radio schedule. I have to kind of be true to that. And we'll see how things go. My God, there's a lot of fur here. Yeah.
You do not sound normal at all. Is that mentally, or am I chipmunky again? Because no video either. You can't see me? No one can see me? Oh, well, isn't that just dandy? What is going on here? Oh, do I have... No, I should be visible. The chipmunk is back. And you can't... chipmunky. And you can see me. Okay, some of you can see me. And the chipmunk is back. So I have no idea what's going on. I'll have to research this. Thank you, Anne.
The voice is high and cutting a bit. That's what it did last week. I have no idea. And the reason I have no idea is because I restarted my system, which I did last time, and everything was fine after that. And I did that today, even though I was running late, and the voice is cutting out a tiny bit. Okay, let me bring my microphone a little bit. Well, that's not the problem. It could be on this software that I'm using. So I'll have to work on this before next week. Can you understand me well enough to go on with the show? Is that, well, my beard is really lopsided. I have to, okay, if you like the chipmunks, that's fine, as long as I don't scream Alvin in the middle of it, right? Okay. So I'll go on with the show, even though the voice is weird. I don't know what this is, because I did restart the system, and last time that worked out fine. So if you could stand it, so can I. All right. Today's show, let me get right to it. Thank you, by the way, in the chat room. I really appreciate your help. Because when I went back and listened to it, I was like, holy cats, this is very, it does sound a little bit like a cat, maybe. I don't, Braven, you would know, because you have cats. They, I like cats. I like cats a lot. Of course, I love my puppy. She's very, very sweet and very cute and mischievous. Oh my, you can see my ukulele back there. That's my uke. Yeah, that's my uke. Yeah, I may sing a song or two coming up. You never know what's going to happen. Just because I look normal doesn't mean I am normal. I think most of you know that. And I haven't had a haircut in over a year. Looking like a cowboy or something. Yeah. Anyway, don't sound like one. I sound like a chipmunk. Maybe I'm looking more like a chipmunk, do you think? Does that look chipmunky to you? Anyway. Today's show, I don't have any of my notes because I ran in without them. Bam! Plastic everywhere. You know, if it weren't for airbags, which I know can be dangerous, but if it weren't for the airbags, I think people would have been really hurt. Both people walked out of the car looking, stunned and angry at each other. And of course, someone went through a red light. That's just all there is to it. So, and I didn't see what happened. I just heard the kabong, and I've been through kabongs before in my past, and I've been through that. So, yeah, I've been through that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm going to work on this before next week, because a couple weeks ago, everything was fine. I wasn't talking like this. What in the world is going on? So weird. I mean, you know, come on. Give peace a chance, right? Come on. I don't know what that had to do with anything. All right. Analyze, visualize, actualize. Okay. Let me explain the premise behind this. Over the decades, I have spent a lot of time learning stuff. And one of the ways that I learned was to analyze things. That's how you learn a lot of stuff, like in Tarot, when you say, well, you know, Chipmunk is back, Lisa. I'm glad. Oh, you said that before. You know, running red lights is just rude and extremely dangerous as well. Yeah, that's crazy. I drive the speed limit because I am an old man. I'm an old man. Anyway, and so I analyze things like cards, and I'm going to talk about that. And I also visualize a lot. Now, visualization, okay. Thank you, Raven. I'm glad you can see me now. I don't know if that's a good thing for you or a very bad thing for you. I had a client. I'll tell you a quick story. This client and I hadn't seen each other in about, 15 years. I used to do readings out of my home, and people would come here, and I used to teach classes out of my home as well. But that was a long time ago. It was a different home. But, you know, same sort of effect. And I taught classes. I taught Tarot. I taught I Ching. I taught all sorts of things, you know, a little magic and, you know, all sorts of things. And it was really a lot of fun, you know. Oh, thank you, Lisa. You like my cards? The images are modern, you know, and they're real world. Not chipmunk, more like you suck the helium from a balloon. Well, I've done that. That's a different story. I didn't do it to get high. You don't get high, but it's fun with the voices, you know. So at a certain point, you know, my wife has arthritis, and it's just hard for her to keep up with things, and she's a perfectionist, and I said, you know, well, we'll let him walk over the vacuum cleaner, and no, I'm kidding, you know, but we just said, okay, that's not, I can't do it anymore. So I hadn't seen this guy in almost a decade. Nice guy, real nice fellow, and so one day we were talking, and he's in another country, and so we were talking by Skype, and suddenly, and it was just by phone, you know, and suddenly I could see him, you know, something happened, and I said, okay, well, maybe he wants to see me too. Could it be that he wants to see me too? So I turned on my vision thing, you know, the video, and he just looked up and he goes, holy Jesus Christ! Wow, you know, I think it's just because I, you know, a lot less hair than I used to have. It's still, you know, there's still a lot of black in there. That's my dad's side of the family. There's plenty of other, and you know, this thing is now completely white, and although there's still a lot of salt and pepper up here, but he was just shocked as could be to see me. It was like. Oh, Audra, hi. Yeah, my voice is trippy, but that's the stuff you had for, you know, that little, I'm kidding. Yeah, there's a problem. I've tried to find out what it is. I restarted my computer. I don't have a clue. I don't know what is going on. I have to look into some other things because it was working just fine, and now it's the chipmunk effect again. Maybe I'll call this Moe the Chipmunks or Moe and the Hamsters or something like that, and that'll be a new show, Moe and his Hamsters. Maybe I'm possessed by hamsters or something. And so you just have to endure, and hopefully by next week, it was last week too, so hopefully by this week it'll be fixed. So it's kind of hard to take me seriously, but then people don't generally take me seriously anywho. Oh, mushrooms. Yes, quite. Fly agar is what that mushroom used to be known as, and it grows at the foot of birch trees. Anyway, so analyze, visualize, actualize. And I began to find out that by using this concept of analyzing and visualizing and that things began to happen. And I don't know why it works, but boy howdy does it. You can actually begin to, and I've never taught anybody this ever in my life, but I've decided that I would like to maybe share this with everybody, every single person. And if you want to, you know, kind of learn some stuff, that you could kind of get in on this. And it's not, you know, like hoodoo or anything like that. It's just the mind. The mind is a very powerful tool. Now, one of the things that I've kind of come up with about divination is this. There is a place where everything meets, you see. Everything is there. And divination goes to that place, wherever that is, and just you tune in. And that's why it works. There were people who used to believe that divination, that when I read for them, that I made things happen. No, that's so not true. I'm just good at what I do because I've been doing it all my life. You know, if you do something for over 60 years, chances are you're going to get okay at it, you know, or around 60 years. So that's just the name of that tune, as they used to say, or Robert Blake used to say. But the point is that I don't want that kind of reputation. That'll get you burned at the stake. Or they'll serve you a burned steak, which you end up president of the United States, which I don't want that responsibility. So, you know, the whole point is that I noticed that these ways of thinking, for example, if we think about why, so astrology in tarot, and now analysis is very important when learning about a tarot card. So why is a particular tarot card called what it is? Well, there are several factors that are involved in the naming of a tarot card, and most people don't think about that. So they see a card like let's say the Seven of Cups. It's a beautiful card for that debauch, okay? Debauch. Oh, Audra. Oh, Mo and the Monks, Pamela said. the Chipmunks, they like Toll House cookies. Audra says, I've been a human for 60 years. You would think I'm getting better at it. We're all getting better. It's all a... What would you call it? It's all happening. It's on the job training, right? We're all working at it. These are Yao sticks for the I Ching. You'll see why I'm doing this in a minute. So the Seven of Cups, debauch. So you look up debauch, and it's going to say lechery, indulgence in objects of the senses or in activities of the senses, things like sexuality and eating too much and, things like that. But mostly sexuality is what the Marquis de Sade, the Marquis de Sade was heavily into debauchery. And so the Seven of Cups, you say, well, why? Why is the Seven of Cups that? And that's its name. The Seven of Cups is called, known as debauch. Well, let's analyze that. First of all, the Tree of Life, and which is Hermetic Tree of Life. Let's make that distinction, the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, but the Hermetic Kabbalistic Tree of Life, not the rabbinical, because we don't deal with that in what we do, because it was just used by those who were being tortured and executed and their stuff taken and they were being put on the rack and sometimes their clothes were taken off the rack, which I'm sure insulted many of them. But they were, they weren't treated very well. So here we've got this problem. And so they say, okay, let's put this symbolism on this. And the this we're speaking of is the Hermetic Tree of Life. So there's the Hermetic Tree of Life. And kaboom. We have this Hermetic Tree of Life. And the sevens are all ruled by Venus. So there we have Venus, okay? And then on top of it, the seven happens to be because there is a certain order of astrological commitments, rulerships of cards that is that is based upon the beginning of the series starting at Saturn in Leo is the very beginning of it all, and it goes all the way around. And I'm not going to get into that today. I've talked about that before. And that's just how it begins. And it uses the Chaldean system of planetary attributes, which is Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Sun, Venus, Mercury, the Moon, and then it goes again to Saturn, Jupiter, and so on and so forth. And that's the Chaldean system. And basically what that is if you put the sun, boom, right in the middle, you have the order of the planets, the inner planets, the moon, and Mercury, and Venus, and then the sun. And then you have Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. So you have the outer planets, the slower planets, and then the faster planets. And then, boom, right in the middle is the Sun. And so this is very interesting because it happens to be the way it really is. With the Sun, if you put the Sun in the middle, as it is exactly in the Tree of Life, you have the theory that the Sun is in the center of the solar system, which they knew. They knew that. But they had to keep it a secret, but that's what they set up. So anyway, Seven of Cups. Seven of Cups, so it's ruled by Venus, and then it turns around haphazardly, or happenstance, or so happens, that it is also the Seven of Cups. So we have a double Venus rulership, and it is also ruled because it is a fixed sign of Scorpio. The fives, the sixes, and the sevens of any tarot card are all going to be the fixed sign of the zodiac in their suit, in their element, and that's cups. So we have a double Venusian helping of Scorpio. Wow. Double Venus and Scorpio? What do you think? So you sit with that for a while, and you think, well, what's double Venus and Scorpio going to do? I wonder. Wonder, who wrote the Book of Love? It's going to be some of that. And so they decided with that sort of influence, there would be some hanky-panky, or in Latin, hancus-pancus. And that it would be, I'm kidding, don't take that, you know, don't take that verbatim. I felt very lucky, by the way, leaving that intersection. Something like that happens, and you think, thank goodness, 'twasn't I. And both people looked okay. That doesn't mean much, but it certainly means, I mean, that they could have other problems, but, you know. Here's my debauch card. Right here, debauch, okay? And you can see it right there in my deck. And I had Venus de Milo, which I thought was appropriate, standing on a scorpion. And as you can see, you can get to some of those cups and not get stung. But a couple of those cups, three of those cups for sure, you're going to get walloped. And that is kind of the whole point, isn't it? Let me hold it with the other hand so I can see what I'm doing. You can see that that's kind of how life is. You can do so much for so much time before you're really going to get... You can't make it out forever, you see? You can't make it out forever. And in ancient Rome and Greece... The temples of Aphrodite and of Venus had temple prostitutes. And so it was just a part of it. They made money, you know, doing that. And I mean, it's just one of those things that we consider, woo, but they considered, you know, love in all its forms. We consider it horrible. So, you know. Oh, thank you, Anne. Thank you very much. She's glad I'm okay. I'm glad I'm okay, too. Very glad. So, it's crazy out there. People drive horridly. Everyone's in a hurry. I mean, I thought to myself, at the very worst, I'm going to miss a show. At the very least, I can be a few minutes late, you know. Still, c'est bien. You know, it's okay. Okay. So this is the explanation of this card. I analyzed this very thoroughly. You can drink from a couple of these cups and get that love, or you can get into a lot of trouble. You see? Analyze. You think about it, and then you visualize. I allowed, with all the cards in this deck... You know, and you actually then find yourself kind of in a place. Now, let's talk about the I Ching for a second, because I don't want to get stuck on Tarot, but we're going to go back to Tarot. A lot of the I Ching hexagrams are pictographs. Now, what do I mean by that? they represent something. They represent something. They're not just ideas, although some of them are purely philosophical. Some of them are nature, purely natural. I'll show you what I mean. But let me pick one here. I've got these Yao sticks, and they're a little bit like trying to wrestle with a tornado a little bit, because they pop out of place. But I'm going to try and show you here. And you got to find the right ones. I made some out of Fimo that were meant to look like jade, and they were okay. But I think they're around here somewhere. But that, of course, is a famous last word. I know they're around here somewhere. Here's one. And I tried to invent a gadget that could show this to you easier. But that didn't work, because I need more time to invent gadgets. God almighty, this is not easy. But I'll show it to you. Here, okay. Maybe if I do it in 2 threes, I mean, here. It's called the preponderance of the preponderance of the small. It's the 9th hexagram. No, it isn't. It's the 28th hexagram. Close. Okay. Maybe this is not going to work too well. Oh, they just exploded in my hand. It is... I could show you in a book. It's right there. Maybe that's a better idea. Hang on. Whoa. That didn't work. Chords. Let me get this book. I was going to get a big book on the live. What are you gonna do live? A big book on the Feng Shui compass, but I thought, no, I don't have to do that. It's all right. The lava lamp hit the dust. I think it'll be fine. Here, now. You see this? Daguo. Daguo. The preponderance of the great. Now that represents a ridgepole in a place that is beginning to crack. Can you see that? So the top and bottom line are going to break. I mean, well, it's a pole and it's cracking. It's cracking. Okay? So that represents something. So you imagine that. Now what that is, that's the oldest sister and the youngest sister, the two trigrams coming together. That's not good. That's not a good thing. That's a problem. So you want to get out of there. So you want to be able to take that image and put it in your mind. Now the 61st hexagram are the two sisters coming together again, but reversed. And that's called Cheng Fu. Here, let me show that to you. And that's another image, or Zhang Fu, if you want to do it right. And here, look at that. Okay, so I can see what I'm showing you here. Oops, went into my hand. Yeah, let me do it right. Well, I can't. Class, show and tell. Oh, God, I have to... Hang on, I'll get it. There it is. Can you see? Emptiness within. Inner peace. Can you see that? So that represents inner peace, emptiness within. And it's the same two hexagrams, but kind of flipped. Okay? So, you see that? Renee, hi. Good to see you. So, some of them are pictures of things. That's a picture of emptiness within. The other one was a picture of a pole in a house getting ready to crack, and the roof is going to fall down. So, that influences the meaning of the whole thing. You see? Yeah. Raise it up a bit. Raise what up a bit? Next one. Next one. There are others. There are lots of others. And most of them, here's a good one. 21. Sheol. 21. And this is important because you want to be able to visualize these. The process of visualization is very powerful to the metaphysical mind. Why? I don't know. Okay. It's called biting through. Biting through. I don't know why it's so hard for me to do this. Wait, because it's this way, then closer. Okay? Now, you can see it's line is at the top. It's yang, then yin, then yang, then yin, yin, yang. And it represents a mouth with something in it that you have to bite through. Can you see that? Yeah? Here, I can raise it up here. Then I can't see what I'm doing, but that doesn't matter. Who cares what I'm doing? Okay? So you visualize that as a mouth, and this happens to be, see? Can you see that? Biting through. Okay? And this then is Li and Zhen, the middle sister and the eldest brother. But the images of biting through something. And that kind of picture is what helps that. But you want to try and get that image in your head. And that helps to decide what this is about. And there are a lot of them that are like that, but there are some that aren't. You know, for example, some are purely philosophical. So there's one that is the 49th hexagram, which has fire in underneath a lake. So you have a lake, and in the underneath the lake, in the lake, there is fire burning. So you can't see it. And that one is called revolution. Revolution. Which makes perfect sense. So you've got a lake, and it looks very peaceful, but there's fire in it. Revolution. And then you've got the opposite of that, which is you've got the lake and the fire's on top. And that's called obstruction. Obstruction, right? Because that lake doesn't want the fire on top. And it also depends on the relationship between the two trigrams. It happens to be the youngest sister, who is the lake, and the middle sister, who is fire. Right? So it's like the younger sister is saying, get away from me with your fire. I don't want you there. And then you have the family. And this one is familial. And so you get to imagine all this stuff. You get to put all this stuff in your head. And what this does, I'm kind of convinced. Oh, and that's the middle sister on the bottom, which is fire. And also the sun. Right? And also eyes. And then you've got the oldest sister on the top, and she is air, like a wind. And so the image is of a campfire with heat coming off of it. Don't you love that? So smart. So interesting. And that's family. That's the family. It also is about culture. So if you have the family, and of course it's a bit antique, I mean, but the I Ching is 5,000 years old. 5,000 years old. So there are going to be some antiquated ideas there. So what we're seeing is this image of a campfire with a family around it, and the youngest or the eldest and the middle sister acting as the hostesses for the family. And you imagine this. You let your mind go with it. Just like with every tarot card, you allow your mind. For example, when I thought of the Ace of Cups, I simply allowed my mind to go. And I said, what is the Ace of Cups to me? And I saw this. I saw myself, actually, as a much older man, in a marketplace, wearing these monk's robes, and I'm no monk, I tell you that, but I'm older, with my beard much longer, you see? And I didn't worry about putting facial features in. And what a cup is to a monk. And that's why this is what it is, because the cup to a monk is everything. It's a begging bowl. They dig out when they want to go to sleep, and they put their hip to go in there. They use it, as I said, to gather money. They use it to drink out of. It's everything. It becomes the most important thing into the world to them. It's their only possession other than their clothing and their mala. And I have lots of malas. I believe in malas. I'm a bead guy. I love beads. I love malas. They're incredibly important in everything I do. I don't know why that is, but they are. I have an actual, better be careful on around this area. I'm liable to topple something else. It's right here somewhere. I have a Tibetan mala, Bodhi seed mala, that I've had for 40 years. It's in this area, but I'm afraid to move now. Boom, you know. Who knows? That bookshelf weighs, you know, thousands of pounds probably. But visualize. So when you think of and use these tools, use Tarot, think to yourself, there's the third hexagram is called, why does your voice sound? Oh, Quelly. It did last week, too. Unknown. It's not me. I sound perfectly fine on this end. It's software. Something happened last week. I restarted my computer. Everything was fine. I restarted my computer today. Still, I have problems. So it's probably the software I'm using to come to you today. So I have to do more investigating and try and figure it out. That's so, or maybe it's, who knows? I'm sorry about this. I will really try and have it figured out before next week. Or maybe it's a comedy act. I don't know. But I'm sorry. I'll work on that. Where was I? Get old. I hope you do get old. My friend Bill, yesterday was the anniversary of his passing, 1 year. I miss him terribly. I've missed him every day for an entire year. It's been a long year without him. We used to talk frequently, and I miss him. He did not get old enough. We were friends for 55 years. Anyway, I'm back. So, the idea is the third hexagram is called Difficulty at the Beginning. And the image is of water, Khan, and below it is Jen, the eldest son. But that is water, rain, and or just could be dark clouds and thunder. And so, but also, they represent a horse and a wagon. This is the beauty of the I Ching. So you visualize, I do anyway, and you analyze all that, a very watery, dark, rumbling, thundery morning, and you're supposed to go out you're supposed to go somewhere. You've got a job to do, or you've got somewhere to go, and this is the morning. And one of the first you know, is you, first of all, the first moving line says you've got to get help. You can't do it by yourself. The second one is horse and wagon part. Now, it doesn't tell you why. So you do a little research, you know. Yeah. Rest in power, beloved Bill is right. Thank you, Audra. Yeah, I loved him very, very much. You know, I loved him very, very much. Still do. So you imagine the whole thing, and there's a horse rearing and the horse and wagon have parted. Why? Because they're moving in different directions. And you have the horse in front of the cart, quite literally. And so you look at that and you allow the scene to take place. Now, here's the key. Turn it into a moving scene in your mind. Let that happen. Let the scene move in your mind. Let it be real. Let it be three-dimensional. And let it evolve over time. Let it be whatever you want, but let it take on its own reality. This is how you learn things. It's teaching you. It's teaching you. The second one says, you know, he is not a thief. He tries to help, but don't let him. Stranger is not a thief. You know, don't let him help you because it's just not right. And it talks about the bride and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so what you'll find is that there is understanding in this process of, and it seems very complicated in the beginning, but it becomes easier and easier as you go along. So I'll pick a card at random. Here's the Eight of Wands. Now, this one may be hard for you to see. It's hard to, no, I think it's not that hard. You can see here, yeah, let me get it here, get it in front of my face. I think it's easier to see. It's one of those ships, one of those boats. Stroke, stroke, stroke. Eight oars. They're the eight wands. And you can see the outline, maybe. And there's a whale underneath it going the opposite direction, swiftness. Okay? This is another situation where it's... Isn't that interesting? Huh. You can see the whale much better in real life. Of an eight, which is ruled by Mercury, and this is ruled by Mercury. So it's double Mercury, swiftness. They're going pretty fast, but the whale is going much faster. And the whale is just barely moving those tail muscles, you know? And so you see that. You feel that. Feel it. Now, when you're doing this, you are communicating with something that is archetypal or archetypical, if you will, and it resides somewhere very powerful, very real. And I can't stress that enough. After you've done this for a while, after you've visualized a few I Ching hexagrams, some of the ones that are visual, and you just look at them and you just say, okay, I think I can. For example, the 23rd hexagram is called splitting apart. It's yin, 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 yin with a yang line at the top. So it's literally broken bone, broken, broken, broken on just one thing at the top, and it's literally splitting apart. So you imagine that, and you hold that in your head, and you'll remember it forever. And then the 24th hexagram is called Fu, return. And it's just that flipped over. And so, oh, of course, it's coming back. It's just that one yang line at the bottom, so it's coming back. Now, once you've done that for a while, wish for something. I don't mean like, you know, three more wishes or, you know, make it something reasonable. Let's say there's a fountain pen you really want. I don't know. And you can't really afford it. And I'm not just saying go ahead and just, this is a pilot vanishing point, you see. It's a lovely pen. I like this pen with a stub nib. Okay. Around here, I have to get permission to buy things.
okay, because I'm a decent guy. You know, I'm not just gonna haul off and, you know, because I don't run. Ooh, come on, chair, don't do that. I'm not going to just haul off and purchase things and, you know, get us into trouble. I like, because I don't, in case you hadn't been able to tell, I'm not really into money. Okay, I like the stuff I can buy, and I'm into fountain pens and a lot, but and things like that. But I'm not so much into responsibility, you know. I'm just not. So, but let's say I really want something. So I will look at it and make sure I really want it. And I analyze it. Do I really need it? Now, I don't mean need it like, do I really need another pen? I can answer that. There's a box of them over there. Fountain pens I've had for over the years that I've all liked that I don't use very often. When I need one of certain, you know, I'll get it. Watches. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You mean, yeah. Watches. Yeah. There's one over there and another one right here. And yeah. I mean, the whole watch thing is because of my dad's watch, which was supposed to come to me. Which mysteriously disappeared. I know what really happened, but that's a different story. And so I have had this itch for it ever since. I wouldn't be able to wear it out in public anyway because someone would cut my arm off for it. But that's a different story. So what you do is you... There's a pen right now I'm kind of itching for. And I look at it every night. And I think about it. And it has, I'm thinking, okay, which nib do I want? I like flexible nibs because I like to do shading in my writing. I write in a modified Spencerian script. You can look it up. I do shading in my writing because I like the way it looks. I mean, if you don't like the way you write, then change it. You know, that's part of this process, by the way. It's a very important part of your process. I write longhand, you see. I like that more than anything else. That's why my notes are in another room. I don't need them. You know, most of the time I write the notes and then leave them elsewhere. So the point is that this is all about analyze things, like these cards, like these I Ching hexagrams. Think about them. Why are they the way they are? Are they familial? Because when you read them, especially the Wilhelm book, which I left in the other room because I was late because of the boom. I hope everyone's okay. I'm pretty sure they were. They look fine. They were young. Young helped a lot. You get to look at these things and they're like intellectual things, you know. So for example, the 14th hexagram is Dayu. It's possession in great measure. It's the sun up in the sky. Possession in great measure. I mean, that makes sense to me, but I see it as golden. Everything golden, that's how it always appears to me, very, very much golden. And I see, and the opposite of that, the one right before that is called fellowship with men. It could be fellowship with everybody, but the sun is low in the sky, which makes perfect sense. If the work is done, you've done everything that needs to be done, so you come together. You come together in the evening to be together with people. And it has such a warm feeling for me. But there's also a little bit of be careful when you get together with people because they may not be what you expect them to be. Be aware. That's still true today. You have to be cautious. See? I love it. And you analyze it, you think about it, and you look at moving lines, and you think, why is this moving line this? Well, because it takes you to another hexagram. And you think about that. Analyze. Now, I don't know why this works, but if you analyze and you visualize, it gives you the ability to manifest. Much more so than anything else I have discovered. At least in my experience. It's something that I... Here, I'm going to show you something. Here is a card, the Star, which you have seen in other decks. The Star card. And other Star decks, other cards, Star decks, the Star card looks very different. But this is a place that I discovered on a meditation easily 35, 40 years ago. Maybe more closer to 50 years ago. Yeah. And I used to take people there. Some of you may have gone with me on a guided meditation. And I used to take people there and show them this star. It's quite secluded. And eventually, it was littered. Because people went there, and it wasn't littered with trash. It was littered with this stuff, like mental weirdness. I don't know how else to explain it. And so I had to shut it off so where other people couldn't get there, and it's clean again. It's real. It's a real place. I stumbled upon it, or I was allowed to visit, and then I started taking people there in guided meditations. I had to shut it down. So people, and someone told me, wrote me an email, said, I tried to go to the Star. I can't get in there anymore. I said, oh, I'm sorry. But I know why. Now they're going to know why, too, if they tried. Or if they watch this, they're... I don't know if they will. But I'm sorry. I just had to stop because it was... It didn't want people there anymore. This is real stuff. And you can do this. So, analyze. Think about it. Think. It exercises something in the mind that connects to a very real thing. Does this make any sense, you in the chat room? Does this... Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope I'm... It's the first time I've ever tried to get it across to anybody. And visualize. See it. You know, see these things in the I Ching. The 39th hexagram. Obstruction. Obstruction. You're on a mountain. And above you, there's water. So in front of you, you have to cross a great river on a mountain. Obstruction. You can't cross it. What are you going to do? See that. See that you're trying to get somewhere and you're in the mountain, on a mountain, and you have to cross this raging river. See it. Feel it. How do you do that? Number 40, the next one, is deliverance. Not like the movie. Don't think that. Not like the movie. And it's a very different hexagram. And you see that. And it's the water, right? But it's sound way above it. I always see it as like standing above on the edge of a canyon and the river is far below and you're looking down into it and you can hear it roaring. So you're delivered from it. See it. Feel it. This is a very powerful technique. Okay? And maybe we'll revisit it, but I think this is it. And you will, and this is an exercise. It takes practice. I do it all the time because every time I do, and you will begin feeling tarot. And you will get answers immediately when you pull a card. Immediately. It's like bam, bam, bam. There it is. There it is. There's the answer. There it is. It's going to startle you. And that'll be the way you read. That's how I read. I don't do spreads. I answer a question, pull a card, boom, there it is. Okay, I better quit. I've gone too far. I've gone too long. Because I started late, then even then I would be going too long. Okay, thank you so much. I love you all. I'm very glad to be here. I'm glad I wasn't one car over.
Please be safe, okay? Thank you, Anne. This is why I like moats and drawbridges, says Audra. Thank you. That's pretty good. Yes. Yeah. Love you too, Anne. Yeah. Life is magnificent. Never forget that, any of you. Even when it's tough, we're here. We're here now, and it's a limited ride, you know? Oh, you remember the meditation out of the deep gourd. Oh, that's right. Shiva rose up and... Oh, I don't remember that aspect, but Raven, thank you. You guys should be listening to Raven. She's got a great radio show, too. Audra says, love you all. Yeah, love you all. Peace and love, all of you. All of you. Until next week, where I hope I'll get this chipmunk thing under control. Until then, see you later. It's on the hour. I gotta get. Bye-bye.